Time is something developed by humans to keep track of sequences of events, to compare how long each one is with respect to the other, and to measure rates of change. These are the three key features of time, yet there are still many unresolved questions about what it actually is. For example, why does time only have one dimension? Is there time if nothing is moving? Are the future and the past as real as the present? Philosophers look to answer the questions about the reality of time, but physicists can experimentally determine why time has only one dimension. Peter Wibberley, a senior research physicist from the National Physics Laboratory, Britain's official measurements lab, has been doing research in the time and frequency group for many years. He has been looking after the atomic clocks that act as the primary reference for all precise time measurements made within the UK. Time is mostly considered as the period it takes for the Earth to complete one rotation around the Sun, and we usually refer to Greenwich Mean Time as the point at which the Sun passes over the meridian line at exactly 12 noon. This definition of time has over the last 40 years become more and more impractical.
The Earth itself isn't a very good clock. It speeds up and slows down unpredictably. And the Earth rotation varies for a number of reasons. In particular, there are changes in the Earth's core, which occur unpredictably. And in the longer term, there's a very gradual slowing down due to friction caused by the tides. But there are all sorts of factors, changes in the atmosphere, build-up of ice in winter and so on, that can change the rotation, even earthquakes or volcanoes. So the Earth's rotation is not a particularly good reference for keeping time.
As the Earth's rotation has become less reliable, scientists invented other methods of timekeeping, the most successful and accurate of which is the atomic clock, which has been around since the mid-1950s. Clocks are based on regular periodic oscillations, whether they are pendulums or vibrating pieces of quartz. Atomic clocks are formed around the transitions of electrons between atoms. As the electrons move up and down in energy levels, they emit packets of energy which have a very precise frequency of oscillation. And it is these oscillations that are counted to keep a very accurate track of time.
Atomic clock is referenced back to a particular property of atoms, which is always constant. It never changes. So a particular type of atomic clock will always operate at the same frequency. It'll count time in the same way. So they don't age in the same way as other man-made clocks.
To keep the universal time measured by atomic clocks in sync with the Earth's rotation around the Sun, scientists introduced the leap second in 1972. So before the time difference reaches about 0.9 seconds, a leap second is manually added to the atomic clock measuring systems. Now, a more accurate definition of the day used by the World Time System is of 86,400 SI seconds, as described by the atomic clocks, which describe Coordinated Universal Time, or UTC. What are the benefits of having a leap second?
Well, the point is really that although we now have atomic clocks, which are much better than the Earth, we still try to keep our timescales in step with the Earth's rotation. The atomic clocks tick very steadily, very smoothly, but because the Earth is changing unpredictably, time based on the Earth will gradually drift apart from time based on the atomic clocks. And so we actually generate a timescale from the atomic clocks, which is used as a reference for all precise timekeeping around the world. It's called Coordinated Universal Time, UTC. And that's an international timescale. It's generated by a large number of labs around the world by averaging large numbers of clocks. And because we try to keep it in step with the Earth's rotation, and we do that by putting in 1 second steps when necessary, just to let the Earth catch up with the atomic clocks. So leap seconds are announced 6 months in advance, and at the moment they're occurring every 2 or 3 years.
Dr. Wibberley went to January's International Telecommunication Union's Radio Communication Assembly in Geneva as the UK's representative, where the fate of the leap second was debated. Systems such as global navigation satellite systems are hugely dependent on accurate time references, and the manual addition of the leap second causes difficulties. Other systems such as financial transactions and telecommunications will also be affected. But what effect would the removal of the leap second have on systems that rely on such accurate timekeeping?
It's to do with the fact that leap seconds are, well, firstly, they are unpredictable. You only know them 6 months in advance. So somebody has to program them into equipment to make sure they happen at the right point. And secondly, a lot of equipment doesn't handle leap seconds particularly well. Software, for example, always likes to count up the same number of seconds in a minute, and having the very occasional minute with one extra second isn't very easy for software to handle. So some equipment just doesn't deal with a leap second particularly well. And the view was that it's simply easier to get rid of them rather than to try and sort out all these technical problems. And they just take the view that it doesn't really matter if our civil time correctly does drift apart from Earth time. Because, of course, we put our clock forward every spring by 1 hour and back in the autumn by 1 hour. So nobody really notices even a 1 hour time difference from solar time. The UK has argued that although in the short term there's no major problem, in the longer term the difference accumulates. So after several hundred years you get to an hour offset, and it gradually accumulates faster and faster over time. So ultimately you'd have to do something to correct this difference, and at the moment nobody really knows what the best solution would be. In fact, the only solution that people have put forward that might work is just for individual countries to change their time zone when necessary to move their clocks back into closer alignment with the sun.
The UK was joined with China, Canada and Germany to argue against the abolition of the leap second, whereas countries such as France, Italy, Japan, Mexico and the US are in favour. What did the UK do to make their decision?
The UK's view is that we should keep leap seconds, and it's really based on the view that the general public understanding of what time is all about is very important, and people have the view that time and the movement of the sun over the sky are intimately related. If we move to a purely atomic clock-based timescale and break the link to the Earth, then it's really going against the general concept of what time is all about. And it introduces uncertainties over what, for example, the day means. Instead of being the movement of the sun around the Earth, it would be purely based on man-made clocks. And it's really completely outside the public understanding of what time is all about. And in the UK, there was really nobody who said that leap seconds are a big problem, that they really need to be abolished because we can't handle them. And the general view is that leap seconds have been around for 40 years now and we can deal with them well enough. So there's no real need to change at the present time.
With different countries trying to put forward their opposing arguments, what conclusions were reached at the conference?
The conclusion really was that we shouldn't take a decision at the moment. There were some countries in favour of the change, such as the USA, France, Italy and so on. Some other countries, including the UK, which were strongly opposed. And a third group of countries which said they didn't really understand the issue well enough to take a clear decision at the moment. And so the overall majority view, if you like, was that there should be more time for all countries to become involved in the process, to look at the issues and to take a decision based on a better understanding of the evidence. So really it's going to be looked at again for the next 3 years. And the aim is to have many more countries reaching a clear national consensus on the future of leap seconds.
The Radio Communication Assembly and World Radio Communication Conference has been rescheduled for the year 2015, where the countries involved will hope to reach a decision. In the meantime, they aim to ensure that all the technical options have been fully addressed in further studies related to the issue.